We are. This was the end of what we were dealing with last week, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ki Yelad, really in Pasuk Hey. These are the last two psukim of what we will see has been a major essay of prophecy, and I'll explain that in just a few moments. We also said that these two psukim, chapter 9, Pasuk 5 and 6, are the last two psukim of the Haftorah of Parashat Yitro. Parashat Yitro, we said the Haftorah is chapter 6 of Yeshayahu. The first six psukim of chapter 7, and then you skip from chapter 7 to chapter 9 to these two psukim. Ki yelad yulad lanu, a child is born to us, ben nitan lanu, a son is given to us, batihi am Yisrael shichmo, the assignment, the task is upon his shoulders, vayikra shmo, and he called his name. Who called his name? The one who is Pele Yoetz, the one who is great in counsel, El Gibor, the mighty God, Avi Av, the eternal father, calls the name of this child, Sar Shalom. Lemarbe HaMisra, because upon him will be the greatness of the office, Ule Shalom Ein Ketz, unending peace, Al Kisei David Va'al Mamlachto, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, Lahachin Ota Ulisardar, he will establish it and he will support it, B'mishpat U'Pitztoko, with justice and charity. We're talking about a child, a son, who's going to be a Sar Shalom, and he is going to establish firmly the kingdom of the house of David, Me'atavi Adolam, from here unto eternity, Kinat Hashem Tzvakot Ta'asezot, the zealousness of God, or Kinat Hashem Tzvaot. The word Kinah can also mean God's anger. Now, to put this in context, there's a fascinating context over here. All you have to do is remember what happened at the beginning of chapter 7. If you go back, and we're going to show, at the beginning of chapter 7, we're told that Aram, Ritzin, king of Aram, and Pekah ben Remaliahu, king of Yisrael, have joined forces together, and they say, Na'aleh b'Yehuda, we're going to go up against Yehuda, and we are going to appoint our own king, a fellow by the name of Ben Taval. And then in the course of these chapters 7 and 8, we also came across a group who are in Yerushalayim, who want to bring down the house of David because they reject the slow flowing waters of the Gihon. What they really want is a king with great pizzazz. And so there are threats to the house of David. There are threats to the house of David from within and from without. There are groups, powerful groups in Yerushalayim, who want to bring down the king, and then there are, of course, mighty forces poised on the outside to do it. The end of the story is that they're all going to fail. A child will be born to us, a son is given to us, he's going to be Sar Shalom, he's going to establish the kingdom of David. So despite all of the plans of big people and little people, all those plans are going to come to naught simply because the Rabbeinu Shlelem has a different plan. Wasn't that really one of the things? Kutsu Eitzo V'Tufar Dabru Dovo V'Lo Yokum Ki Imanu El. There are those who will have all sorts of ideas. They're going to take counsel. They're going to plan. They're going to sit around and work out all sorts of tactics. And the end is, it's going to come to naught. All of the energy and all of the effort to bring down the house of David and to appoint somebody else in his place, it will all come to nothing. because the Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan, and nobody is going to frustrate God's plan. Okay. You know what? I'll give you out another sheet now, and we'll talk about that too.
This is a sikum.
You know, and sometimes, don't get confused over here. If we ever get to turn over to the other side is an opposite. And I always, when I see Rox these things, I get concerned. No, no, they're coming. They're there. Yeah? Okay. Oh, I didn't, I'm sorry.
Just follow me here, because it's going to be a good review and an overview of the last few chapters. And this is taken from the Tanakh Dat Mikra. And if you take a look, page Kuf, not the one with the picture. Oh, page Kuf. L'sikuma Parsha. Sometimes they do a tremendous job. L'sikuma Parsha. And here, I just was, you know, sometimes I like certain things and I want to share them with you. Okay? Right? L'sikuma Parsha, you see, because it's also going to explain what's going to happen. You see, we've talked about this in the past, and it's important here. You learn a chapter in Tanakh, so you think that, you know, we just now finished Psukim 5 and 6 in chapter 9, and therefore when we go on to to the next Pasuk, which is Pasuk 8, right, 7, we get the feeling, you know, this is a continuation of what we've been talking about. And we are unaware of the fact, because of the chapter divisions, we are unaware of the fact that we are moving into a completely different phase of prophecy. Because it's in one chapter, so the chapters, in a sense, have, for lack of a better way to say it, they've tzedreid us a cup. Because we take a look at whatever exists in one chapter as though it's all part of the same prophecy. And the fact is, the next Pasuk Zion, Dovar Sholach Hashem B'Yakov V'Nofal B'Yisrael, starting to talk about something completely different. And with this Pasuk, these Psukim 5 and 6, we end a two-chapter prophecy. Watch. You'll see, so it will not only explain to us everything that's happened before, but we're also going to prepare ourselves for what's to come. And we're not going to learn all of it, but some of it. Yesh simanim hamitzarfim et kol advarim min vayihi bimei achaz ad kinat Hashem tzarkot ta'aseh zot. The beginning of chapter 7 was vayihi bimei achaz, and it came to pass in the days of Achaz. And what happened in the days of Achaz? The two forces, the two great forces of the day, Aram and Yisrael, gather and come up to war against Yehudah. And he says the end of that prophecy is the establishment, the firm establishment of Malchus Beis David, Kinat Hashem Tzarkot, the zealousness of the anger of God will do this. They're all one parasha, the parasha achat, ha-parasha putachat, b'milchama, la-milchama, the parasha begins with these two forces coming up to war against her, to wage war against Yehudah. And you know what it ends with? Umesayemet b'shalom, sar shalom, u'l'shalom en kates. The last two psukim here, psukim 5 and 6, speak of peace. It all started with the enemies of Yehudah talking war. And the end is all of their plans are going to be frustrated. They will not come to fruition, and there will be peace. Potachat b'chushad Beit David. This whole parsha, going back to chapter seven, talks about the weakness of the house of David. Umesayemet, and it ends with Tokef Malchus David, the strength of the kingdom of David, Al Kisei David. the throne of David, that's the end. Potachat b'haskarat hazar she'oivim zominim lahem lichal Yisrael. The parasha chapter 7 begins with mentioning some stranger that the enemies plan to make king over Israel. And it ends with, no stranger is going to rule over us. But you know what? Yeled yulad lanu, bein nitan lanu. One of us, one of our children, the house of David, ha'atid limloch, who's going to be king. And as we explained last week, this child is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Though there is no proof to what he's saying, watch this. Zeichel davar b'seder ha'haftarot l'fi minhag Ashkenaz, the haftarot according to minhag Ashkenaz, shebesof haftarat Yitro korim. At the end of Parashat Yitro, we read after the Chazon HaMerkava. Chazon HaMerkava is the vision that Yeshayahu sees in chapter 6, where he sees the throne and chariot of God. At Sheshet, what do we read? At Sheshet HaPsukim HaRishonim Shal Perek Zayin, the first 6 Psukim of Perek 7, Ulach HaShekorim, and after we read the 6th Pasuk in chapter 7 that says, we are going to appoint a king, Ben Tavel, we are going to remove the king of the house of David, and we're going to appoint a king. And it says over there, "V'namlich melech b'tochad ben tavel." We're going to bring, we're going to appoint as a king in her midst, ben tavel. Medalgim, we skip. We Ashkenazim skip, and we read these psukim. Ki yeled yulad lanu ad kinat Hashem tzvakot ta'asezot v'uremez. And this comes to tell us, lo ben tavel yamelech b'Yerushalayim. All of your plans to appoint somebody else. You think you're going to decide who is going to be the Sar HaBitachon or the Rosh Memshalah? The Rabbeinu Shleilam has other plans. Ella, lo ben tavel yamela dirusham. It's not ben tavel ella hayelav asher yulad lanu. V'od al mizimat ha'ivim, the plans of the enemies, hanevuah mafticha, the prophecy promises, ko amar Hashem Elokim, lo takum the Lotiyah. In chapter 7 it says it will not arise, it's not going to be. And I also added the pasuk of Utsu Eitz of the Tufar, Tabru Dova V'lo Yakum, Val Tshuat Hashem, and the Nevuah Mavtichan, about the salvation of God, the Nevuah promises, Kinat Hashem Tzvakot Ta'asezot V'od, Kinat Hashem Tzvakot Goveret Al Cheri Afritzin Baram Bedrim Ayahu. You know, the beginning of chapter 7, we talked about the two people who are coming up, the two forces that have joined together to come up against Yehuda, Bichari'af, with anger, Ritzin, king of Aram, and Pekah ben Remaliah, king of Israel. Bichari'af, they're coming. You know whose anger is more powerful than their anger? Kin'at Hashem Tzakot. Okay, this is also proof that the word Kin'at here, as in some places, means God's anger. Not the anger of man is that which establishes facts in this world, but the anger of God, Kin'at Hashem Tzakot. Peparshazu Nizkarim Arba Yeladim. In this parasha, 4 children are mentioned. We're talking about children? You asked me about children? 4 children are mentioned in this parasha. Shehem Shmoteim Otot L'Kiyum HaNevuah L'Yishuav. Their names are signs that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled, the prophecy of salvation. U'lefi Peinushenu, according to the way we learned it, Shlosha Terishonim Hem B'nei Yeshayahu Anavi. The first 3 children that are mentioned are the children of Yeshayahu. Sho'or Yoshuv is 1, Immanuel is 2, Maher Shalol Chashbaz is 3, V'harivi, and the 4th one is the one that we've learned about right now, not from the house of not from the family of Yeshayahu, but from the family of Malchus Beis David. The 4th child, who's called Sar Shalom, is Chizkiyo. Sar Shalom, the parashasu teisha piskaot. What do you mean? If we take from chapter 7 through our psukim here in chapter 9, there are 9 distinct prophecies. And I just want to run through these 9 distinct prophecies because they all make up one unit, so that you get a certain sense of the structure. You see, there's always a problem when learning Navi. There's always a problem by the time you get to the few psukim down the line, you sort of forgot the context of the psukim earlier. It's good to take a look at it and see an entire picture. And he says here, and you're going to have a review of the of it all. We're going to do it quickly so that we can go further. Aram ve'Ephraim Aleph. Aram ve'Ephraim nilchamu b'Yehuda. Aram and Ephraim waged war with Yehuda, bikshu levatel malchut be'David. They want to remove the kingdom of the house of David. Ve'efshar shahayta kavanatam letzaref et Yehuda lebrit amim hanilchamim ba'Ashur. It's possible that they want to bring Yehuda into their alliance, the coalition of forces that are going to be arrayed against Ashur, because as we said, in the course of these chapters, we also become aware of the fact that there is a new player in the game of the Middle East, and this new player is Ashur, and he poses a threat to all of them. So therefore there are a coalition of forces, Aram and Yisrael, and they want to impose their will upon Yehuda so that Yehuda should also join this array of forces against Ashur to stop him. And as we pointed a number of times, and this is always significant, the Navi is always talking within the context of an event in his time, except that it overflows to all of history, where the same thing may be true. The same situations keep arising again and again. History, in that sense, really repeats itself, and it's just a matter of not repeating the mistakes. Yeah, if you want to say Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, that's a very nice way of saying that we have to learn the lessons of history, that what the fathers did should be an indication of what children are supposed to do. That's not really what Chazal mean over there. Chazal mean a great deal more over there. Chazal, when they say Maaseh Avot, that which was done by the fathers is a Siman Labanim, that they paved the way by virtue of what they did. They paved the way that children should succeed in years to come. When Avram travels through Eretz Yisrael, he is in fact symbolically and prophetically, he is now conquering the land. So therefore it's going to become possible for his children to do that later. When he passes through Shechem and Beit El, and he comes to Hebron and Be'er Sheva, he is performing an act which in Torah terms, in prophetic terms, is establishing facts on the ground. And his children later are going to reap the benefits of it. But if you want to say that Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim can also mean that we should learn the lessons of history, I agree with you. You can't expect much better of me, Sarah, than to say I agree with you. Okay. Now watch further. Ochos Melech Yehuda Bikesh Lichrod Britim Ashur Kedei Lamod Keneged Aram Vafrayim. Watch how the political situation becomes confused. They're a threat. Aram and Yisrael are a threat to Yehuda. They want Yehuda to be part of the coalition against Ashur. Yehuda doesn't want to join them, so you know what Yehuda does? Who okay, Otam, he bypasses them, and he now wants to enter into a treaty with Ashur himself, the one that they're afraid of, that he should assist, Ashur should assist them against, assist him against Yehuda Yisrael. Ochos Melech Yehuda Bikesh Lichrod Britim Ashur Kedei Lamud Keneged Aram Vefrayim. Ochos, king of Yehuda, wanted to make a treaty with Ashur so that he can wage war or stand up against Aram Vefrayim. Hanevuam Shebefi Yishayahu Mazira Et Achaz. When Yeshayahu comes out to Achaz, out in the some kind of field outside of Yerushalayim, where there's water flowing and people are doing their laundry, that's where he meets with him. Mesilat Stei Koves, you know what he's coming to tell him? He's coming to tell him, don't be afraid of the coalition of forces. Remember, how did he describe the coalition of forces? The two smoking, the two tails of smoking brands, Shnei Zanvot Ha'udim Ha'Shenu El. He says, don't be afraid of Aram and Yisroel. Don't be afraid. Yeshayahu, the prophet, comes to warn Achaz Shelo Yidom Mipnei Aram Vefrayim. Don't be afraid of Aram Vefrayim. V'lo Yikra Lo Ezra Toet Melech Hashur. And don't go ask for aid and assistance from Ashur, because Ashur is going to stab you in the front. Don't do it. Kiyesh b'kol chashe Yehuda lohagen al atzma gam lo ezat Ashur. Because Yeshayahu is telling him in these chapters, he's telling him that Yehuda has the strength on its own to stand up against Ashur. Because we have God on our side. Elo be'ezrat Hashem levado, depend on the assistance of God alone. V'ha'ot le'ezrat Hashem shetavo hushen b'no shel Yeshayahu. The sign that God is going to stand by them is the son of Yeshayahu called She'or Yashuv. V'ha'nevu'ah mechazeket at haftachata limatalat Aram v'Efrayim b'hazkarat ha'uvda sh'Aram v'Efrayim amlachot chalasher tein u'malkein etzinu pekach einam ala zanvot udot ashenim. Do you know what Yeshayahu is telling him when he says that they are two tails of smoky firebrands? That they're really two weak countries. They may make a lot of noise. They may be a lot of smoke. But the fact is, they are weak. They will not be able to vanquish you. You don't need to enter into an agreement with Ashur in order to withstand the so-called onslaught of Aram and Ephraim. Bet. Achaz lo shama latzat hanavi. Achaz didn't listen to the Navi's advice. V'lo he'emin b'haftachato she'yivashab mi'oivav l'lo ezat Ashur. He did not believe the promise that they will be saved without the help of Ashur. He doesn't believe it. Afsedev levakesh oz me'et Hashem. Yeshayahu asked them, tell me what sign do you want that my prophecy is true? And he refuses to ask for a sign. He doesn't want to ask for a sign because he really doesn't want to communicate. He doesn't want to communicate with the Navi. V'lachein natan lo ha-Navi oth. Therefore the Navi says that I'm going to give you a sign. And that sign is the second son that's born to him, whose name will be Immanuel, to tell you, Utsu eitz of the tufar, dabru dava v'lo yakum ki Immanuel. They are going to take all sorts of counsel. They are going to make all sorts of decisions, and it's going to be shattered because God is with us. Gimel. V'od hosef ha-Navi la-Hazir. The Navi also warned, Shatid melech Ashur shi'avo gam al Yehuda. In the course of these last few chapters, there's this description of a tidal wave coming through the country that's going to sweep and flood the country, and this Absabor Yagia is going to come to the neck. The Navi is telling him, you should know what's going to happen as a result of the fact that you don't place your trust and faith in God. Ashur is indeed going to invade this country. He's going to sweep through the country. So the Sha'atid Melech Ashur Shi'avo Gam al Yehuda, king of Ashur, is going to come against Yehuda. Ubitziv Otav Yimlu Et Haaretz, and his forces are going to fill the land. Ach Lo Yacharivu HaKolil V'Hitashuv Liyod Zavad Chalav Udvash. And it said, he described, you know, because what we were talking about then, you remember the psukim that were really describing the angel of death coming down and destroying the camp of Ashur when they are surrounding Jerusalem. That means they're going to come to the neck, to the heart, to the very lifeline of the Jewish people, which is Jerusalem, and it's at the gates of Jerusalem that they are going to fight. Four. After the king didn't listen to the words of the prophet that he said to him verbally, Mitztaveh ha-Navi lechtov al-Gilyon gadol u-bechatimat eidim ne'emanim. So God tells him, Kach lecho Gilyon, write it. He's not listening to your Torah, Shebaal Pah. I want you to write it so that everybody should know that you said it. and you should, and he says that he had witnesses who signed on it. Et ha'ot shebishem beno, third son, maher shalal kashbaz libesorak ki karov kurban damesek v'shomron, that Damascus. And then remember, he says, because Ritzin is the head of Damascus, not Yehuda. Pekach ben Remaliahu is king in Shomron. He is not going to be king in Yehuda. And ultimately, they are going to fall and they're going to disappear. On the next page. 5. Hey. Ad kan diber hanavi kineged amabak shmet ezrat ashur lamilchama beritzin melech haram upekach ben Remaliahu. Ato hanavi mabchiach at anshei ha-Yehuda hamabakshim litchaberim litzin upekach v'hu chozeh. So he says, up until that one point in the prophecy, he's talking about those who want to go outside and bring in the aid, enter into an agreement with Ashur. But then there are also enemies from within. There are people in Yehuda In other words, there are those who say, let us join with Aram and with Yisrael in order to save ourselves from Ashur. And you know what they're going to bring? They're going to bring about that Ashur is going to come with all of its force and all of its might against Yehuda. They think they're protecting themselves, and what they're really doing is they are bringing great danger upon themselves. They think that with their agreements and their heskenim and their ta'alichim, they are going to assure their safety, and precisely the opposite happens. All the agreements and all of the contracts and all of the treaties that are made only bring worse suffering upon the Jewish people. A lesson for all times and a lesson for our time. V'ulam b'sofo shel davar tufar atzat Ashur v'ha'amim asher ito gam l'zot yesh nemez b'shem Immanuel. At the end, not only will the council, the plans, not only the plans of Pekach ben Remaliahu and Ritzin Melech Aram, they're not the only ones whose plans are going to come to naught. Also the plans of Ashur are going to come to naught. Tov. Though there are many amongst the nation who disagree with the Navi, Hanavi Muzhar Shiyamod B'Shalo, God tells the Navi to stand strong. B'Shalo Yiratam, B'Shalo Yekabel Et Da'atam, he shouldn't fear the people, he shouldn't accept their opinions. Ki Sofam Lihi Kashel, because the end is that they're going to stumble. God tells the Navi to stand strong. Why does God have to tell the Navi to stand strong? Wouldn't we imagine the Navi who speaks or hears the word directly from God is going to remain strong? I'm still under the influence of the Chumash here from yesterday. That it is possible for people to wear down even Moshe Rabbeinu. They keep talking and talking, and they just wear you down. And you begin to think that, you know, maybe they have a point. And then, of course, there are always people who will say, you know, you have to be open-minded enough to hear the other side. And when I hear this from people, I get slightly upset. That's right. That's the answer. That some people are so open-minded their brains fall out. That's the great part. I've had a number of people. I think that there's a certain benefit involved in that. In other words, because the atmosphere that has been created is, if you hold a strong opinion, or you hold an opinion in a strong manner, you're a ki so ni. But what happens?
Right.
Or left wing. Oh yeah, oh true, only if you're right. But what happens if you're open to all sorts of suggestion and ideas, and you consider it and you think about it, then you're a psahecher mensch. You're a shtickel intellectual. You're an elite. Only chashuchim, dark people, middle-aged, from the Middle Ages. That's a big difference between the two. An atmosphere has been created, and it's an extremely dangerous atmosphere because it affects us all. The Rebbein Yisraelim has to tell Yeshayahu, remain firm, remain strong, don't be swayed. But Yeshayahu is going to be swayed. According to the Medrash that we learned yesterday, that Dathan Aviram succeeded in confusing even Moshe Rabbeinu, then anything can be true. And I tell you, it's so scary that it's sort of this feeling, I think that I have to move over further to the right so that I shouldn't find myself, you know, possibly moving over to the other. The only thing is I have no more place to move. There's no more right left. There's no more right left for me. That's right. Look what he says. You know what I see in this also? Leave strategy to the generals. Leave politics to the politicians. Leave decisions to the statesmen. Navi, you know what your job is? Go to the Kotel and say Tilim, but just let the professionals do their job. Rabbis, you have no right to express opinions in matters that are really not your business. I don't know, over the last few days there have been a number of soldiers who were misarev pekuda, who refused to serve in Yehuda v'Shomron. Did the country collapse and go to work on them? Siruv pekuda? But when rabbis say that Jews should not remove fellow Jews from their homes, who gave the rabbis the right? You remember what they did to us? What they did to the rabbis of Paskin, Siruv Pekuda? They're telling a person, don't do something that you consider to be immoral or against halacha. Nobody now is trying. You know, there are serious problems in the army. And by the way, the religious community foresaw these problems, but I don't think they had ever occurred to them that it would get as serious as it is now. The mingling of the sexes in the army. There are bases where Yeshiva Bacham will not, they have even joint barracks. And we said years ago, now what's the counterforce today? I mean, how many times do you read? I don't think that they can go by that there isn't somebody who is accused of sexual harassment. You created the atmosphere, and now what you're trying to do is you create a charged atmosphere, and now you want to correct it. But when we said that this is going to be a tragedy, they laughed at us. What are you talking about? Laughed at us. All right, let's. We have to remember we're still learning Yeshayahu. V'shelo yidah tam, he shouldn't be afraid of the people. V'shelo yikabel et tam, he should not accept their opinions. Kiso famli kashel, they're going to fail. V'afim ha'am eino shamel divrei hanavuah, talmidei hanavi yishmu dvarav. Even if the people don't hear what he says, the students of the Navi are going to hear. V'lehem yichtov hanavi et dvarav v'sefer chatum, he should write his words for them. And they should keep them for the future. So, therefore, the Navi is strengthened in his own certainty. Keep כי הנביא ובונב לא תותם. Those were the psukim where he said there are people who are going to say, go ask the Ovot and Yidonim and others. You can go ask those who speak with the dead, but not to listen to a Navi who speaks the word of a living God. 7.
הנביא חוזר לספר את חזיונותיו על המצוקה העתידה לבוא על תשועה של אחריה. צורה אחת, צורה תבוא מלכות שמון.
The Navi then tells of all of the terrible things that are going to happen to Shomron and its end.
Ulam la'achar ha'metzuka tia tshuva gdola v'simcha rabba. After the oppression will come a period of salvation and great joy. And tachat ha'melech ha'zor ha'meshabed yimloch melech mi'beit David u'malkuto titon la'olam.
And the end is therefore that after all of the tzaras, there will no stranger or foreigner is going to rule over us, but it's going to be the house of David. I just yes, it may very yes, I agree with you, except of course that it's in the pasuk. Well, no, on the contrary, it is in the pasuk where it said that Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemarbe HaMisra, the mem that is locked is the one that is the indication that God wanted to make him Mashiach, and it could have been, but it wasn't. And I told you, I think I mentioned it in passing last week, a Gemara that I always understood, I'm not so sure anymore. And the Gemara says that God wanted to make his Giyom Mashiach, but he decided against it because the Malachim said he didn't say Shira. It's not so simple. In other words, if he would have said Howl with a Brach on Yom HaTzmaot, that would be okay. And the fact that he teaches Torah to all of Klal Yisrael day in and day out, and he creates an eternal song of Torah by Klal Yisrael, that's not good enough. Hallel, you know, I'm caught between these two poles. I'm not sure. All right. Okay, let's go further. Well, we got to go ahead because we're going to come. We're going to do all sorts of fascinating things. Chapter 9, Pasuk 7. Dovah Sholach Hashem B'Yakov V'Nafal B'Yisrael. There is a thing, for lack of a better translation, even though the word Davar, Chapter 9, Pasuk 7, the word Davar can also mean, in addition to thing, a word, a prophecy. Hashem has sent a prophecy in Yaakov, v'nafal b'Yisrael, and it has fallen into Israel. Fallen into Israel means it's now falling into place, it's now going to happen. What Hashem said is going to happen to Yaakov is now going to happen. Rashi says that what is this davar that they're talking about? And we see it in the psukim to come. The Navi is now prophesying, in fact, the fall of the kingdom of Israel. Earlier he had been talking about Pekah ben Remaliahu, who comes against Yehuda, that he's going to fail. Now we are already in the days of Hoshea ben Elah, who is the last of the kings of Israel, and he's now going to prophesy the end of the kingdom of Israel. Pasuk 8, the Yadu Ha'om Kulo, let the entire people know. And he says clearly now who he is speaking to: Ephraim, the Yoshvei Shomron. Ephraim and those who live in Shomron. Shomron is the capital city of the 10 tribes. Ephraim is the largest of the tribes. Therefore, Ephraim very often is used as a name to describe all 10 tribes. What's that famous passage from Yirmiyahu that we say on Rosh Hashanah? Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. Ephraim is the dear child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May I, my inside, I am pained because of Ephraim. Ephraim was the largest of the tribes. By the way, in the name Ephraim, you also have Pri, Pru Urvu. What was the Brach of Yosef? The bracha of Yosef was that he would be many. He turns into two tribes, not one. So Ephraim became a name for the ten tribes. V'yodohom kulo Ephraim v'yoshei Shamron b'gaiva u'b'goda levav lemar. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Shomron have spoken with great conceit, u'b'goda levav, a big heart, and they said the following, that even as they are suffering losses, they say, levenim nafalu, the gazit nivneh. If a house of bricks has fallen, gazit nivneh, we are going to build it with perfectly hewn rocks. In other words, whatever loss we've had, we're going to recoup. We're going to recoup in a big way. Shikmim gudou, sycamore trees were cut down. V'arazim nachalif, we're going to exchange it for cedars of Lebanon. Sycamore. Rashi, of course, explains that what they're talking about, the mighty that fall, kings that have fallen, but we're going to have even greater ones now. The ones that have fallen are the sycamores, but we're going to have arazim. I mean, it, of course, means on a simple level, yeah. A city has been destroyed, we're going to rebuild it with even greater fashion. By Yisagev Hashem, etzoreidetzin alav. Remember, we were still talking about Ritzin, king of Aram? Who did Yisrael depend on? Ephraim. Who did he put his trust in? He had entered into a treaty with Ritzin, king of Aram. So he put his faith in Ritzin. But what happens if Ritzin falls? So there goes everything that Israel had depended on. God has given strength to those who are the oppressors of Ritzin. You go ahead, Ephraim goes ahead, makes an agreement with Ritzin, king of Aram, but now King Ritzin, king of Aram, is in serious trouble because God has made the oppressors of Ritzin strong against him. And he's going to confuse his enemies. Very, very interesting. Very interesting few words. Whose enemies are going to be confused? Yisakseh means that they're going to destroy one another. Whose enemies are going to destroy one another? So the Rashi brings two pshatim, and it's the second one that fascinates me. Oyevav means his enemies, the enemies of God. Not Ritzin, not Yisrael, the enemies of God. God's enemies are going to be confused. This is a recurrent theme throughout Tanakh. We've mentioned it in the past, but I've become aware of it even more recently. Do you say the three chapters of Chilim that Jews in some communities or many communities have been saying every day, Pei Gimel? Do you have a Tanakh? Does anybody have a Tillim? Shir Mizmor La'asaf.
Pei Gimel.
Elokim Al Domilach Al Techaras Al Tishka. We'll take them. All right. Is this a Tillim? Thank you. Yeah. I just want you to listen to that chapter. I was learning that chapter. I may even learn it in shul. It's an amazing, amazing chapter.
the chapter, you know, maybe one of these days we'll learn it here in one class. It's an amazing chapter in Tehillim. Huh? Hey, Gimel. 83. Elohim al domi loch, God, do not remain silent. Al techerash, val tishkot, fail. Don't be quiet. Don't be at rest. In other words, we're saying to Benjamin, don't remain silent. Get out there and do something. Ki hinei oyevecha yehemoyun. Your enemies are making a lot of noise. Umisanecha, and those who hate you, nosu rosh. Those who despise you, their heads. What do you mean, oyevecha and sonecha? So it's the same thing as Vayehi bin Soah Ha'aron Vayoma Hashem Vayoma Moshe Kumo Hashem V'yafutsu Oyevecha V'yanusu Misanecha Mipanecha. Who are the Oyevim and the Sonim of God? So Rashi on the spot says, and it's, I say it's a recurring theme in Tanakh, the ones who hate and the enemies of Israel are really the enemies of God, but they wage war with us because we're the closest they can come to God in this world. Am Yisrael are the enemies of God. Rashi in his second chapter says, Hashem has strengthened the oppressors of Ritzin, that Oyevav. You know what God is going to do with his enemies? All of these people who want to come against Yehuda are his enemies. He's going to confuse them. They're going to destroy one another. We won't have to do anything. There's going to be, what do they call it? An implosion? Right? That's a fun, an explosion in an implosion. An implosion is an explosion from within. Right? Okay. In other words, no outside force is necessary. Now, I don't think, you know, let's say to explain the word, labor is imploding, right? Labor does not need anybody to help them destroy themselves. Yisachfech, Ben Ami against Berg, Berg and Ben Ami against Balin, Balin and Paris against, and they don't have, no more, they don't have Barak anymore to be the whipping boy. So now they're going to whip each other, and it's an important, it's a significant halavai that it continues until there is a successful completion to the process of the internal explosion, the implosion, and that's all. Because they always have thought that they were born to rule. At Oyevav Yisach Seich, God's enemies are going to implode from within. There won't be any force from the outside that will have to do it. Let's go further. Aram mikedem, uplishtim mi Yisrael. Aram and mikedem can have a number of meanings. Mikedem means from the early days, from a long time ago. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Chadesh Yomenu Kedem, renew our days as they were. The word Kedem has another meaning. Kedem means east. Aram fits both of these meanings. Aram has been for hundreds of years a source of pain to Klal Yisrael, and they are to the east of Eretz Yisrael. Aram Kedem Uplishtim. Plishtim are me achor. Whenever you have kedem, achor is the opposite direction. Achor doesn't mean the back, it means the back of the east. The back of the east is the west. I think it's David HaMelech in Tehillim who says, achor for kedem sartani. You formed me, my back and my front. You made me, God. You made the whole human body. Aram Mikedem, so to the east we have Aram, and Plishtim, who are along the coast, they are to the west. Vayochlu et Yisrael b'chol peh. They consumed Israel with their whole their whole mouth. It's an interesting term, because remember the word vayochlu means not only to eat, but it also means to destroy. Where do you have it?
Vayichamosel hagoyim asher lo yidoko v'al mishpachos asher b'shimcho ki ochlu et Yaakov.
They have eaten Yaakov, and what it really means over there is they have consumed Yaakov. But achila is a form of consumption, so therefore it is also used to mean destruction. But using it figuratively, if when you eat with a guns of mail with a whole mouth, that means real eating, so too they wanted to destroy Israel. And b'chol zot, lo shavapo,
God's anger is not removed and his hand is still outstretched. What has the Pasuk said? The Pasuk said that he's going to bring down Ephraim and he's going to bring down Adam. And if you think that that's the end of it all and God's anger will have passed, not so. His hand is still outstretched. And you know what he's going to do next? Vayachvet Hashem Yisrael, and God has removed, cut out from Israel, Rosh v'Zonov, Kippa v'Agmon, Yom Echad. Rosh is the head, Zonov is the tail. Kippa are the big, beautiful branches at the top of a tree. Agmon is sort of like seaweed or something of that sort that grows in water. We're talking about the highest and the lowest. Rosh and Zanav. Kippah and Agmon. What it really means is top leaders and the lowest level of leadership. The top of the political power, military, industrial complex, and then the ones down at the bottom. All of them are going to be destroyed. Yom Echad, Yom Echad. Zokein unesu panim hu harosh, v'navi moreh sheker hu hazanav.
He says, if you want to know who is the one who stands at the head of the pyramid, who's the Rosh is the elder, the one who's unesu panim, who is dignified, that's the Rosh. And it's beautiful that he says, you know what, the tail, the lowest level, Navi Modeh Sheker, the prophet who speaks falsehood. Because when you speak falsehood, you destroy a people. That's one of the benches I'm on. I constantly get upset with the falsehood, the Sheker that comes pouring out. God, when I read it yesterday in the paper, that Dalia Itzik said, she's a pair, Dover Sheket Unavod. She said that all of the talk against Ehud Barak, his life is in danger. Somebody, I don't think there's a person in this country that would waste a bullet on Ehud Barak. And she's warning people that, oh, all the terrible talk. I don't know why he didn't use that as the excuse why he's stepping down. He blamed everybody in the world. Why not blame people out there who may want to kill him? Yes.
There's a parallel. The Christians can be blamed the whole world also.
It's an amazing parallel. They are Ike and Mike. Clinton blamed the whole world. Blamed everybody for everything.
Okay.
Watch, you'll see what's happening over here. Ma'ashrei ha'am hazeh. The word ashrei has a meaning beyond the meaning that that we normally know. Ashrei means praise. Ashrei are also footsteps. And the word footsteps therefore means path. People who should be leading Jews in a particular path, you use your feet in order to travel a certain path. Ma'ashrei ha'am hazeh. Those who should be leading this people, matim, are causing them to go astray. Umu'usharav. In other words, those who should be telling them the right way to go, Mivula'im, either can mean that they are confused. It can also mean they are corrupt. The leadership is corrupt, destructive. I think the last pasuk in Parshat Bamidbar says that when the Levim and the Kohanim would cover the Aron before they would begin traveling, it says that they covered it. V'lo yavo'u lir'ot et ha'kodesh bevala et ha'kodesh v'metu. You shouldn't come to see when the Kodesh is being removed, lest you die. The Valeha over there means something that's covered, concealed, wrong, in a sense wrong. Okay? Therefore, because of the fact that leadership is leading the people astray, Al Bahurav Lo Yismach. The man will not be happy with his young, or God will not have the ability to be happy with his young ones, because he's going to have to punish them, so God is not going to be happy. Al Bahurav Lo Yismach Hashem. Hashem is not going to be happy with his chosen ones. These are people. When does the Rebbein show? When is he happy? When does he have nachas? When they're doing what he wants them to do? Whatever, they're not doing what he wants them to do. So he's not going to be happy with them. He's not going to have mercy upon his orphans and his widows. Because they are all... Now, the word chaneif, we always think that the word chaneif invariably means flattery. But it means a great deal more. In Tanakh, chaneif very often means evil or sinfulness. And a lot of psukim, trust me. Kikulo chaneif, they're all evil or meira and do bad. V'chol ped dover nevala. That's a terrible, terrible thing. Every mouth speaks nevala, ugliness. And therefore there's going to be a punishment that's going to come upon Yisrael. B'chol zot lo shav apo. This is the refrain. Second time it appears. It was in Pasuk Yud Aleph and it's here again. Despite all of this, God's anger is not turned back. V'od yado netuya. And his hand is still outstretched. Because there are still others who are going to have to be punished. Not only will there be punishment on Aram, not only is there going to be punishment on Yisrael, wait, there are others. And we're going to see now who the others are. Kivaroko Eishrisha. Evil has burned like fire, consumed like fire. Shomir Vashayit Tochel. I think this is the third or fourth time in Yishayel that we have this pair, Shomir Vashayit, thorns and thistles. They're dry. They burn very quickly. Shomir Vashayit Tochel. And Tochel, remember, we said, means not only to eat, to burn, to consume. Shomir Vashayit will be destroyed, consumed. Batitzat Besivchei Hayar. And it's going to ignite. By the way, that's where you get the word Meitzit, Hatzata, and Hasata. Tatzit means something that ignites. A lighter is therefore called a Meitzit. It causes something to light. Therefore, we also have the meaning of insight. And we have that in a passage that we learned yesterday in Parashat Pinchas, when it says, when they come and they mention Dosan Vaviram, it says, who Dosan Vaviram Asher Hitzu, who incited as part of the community of Korah, Asher Hitzu Al Hashem Val Moshe. They incited the people, because it's all the idea of causing a fire, causing an eruption. That Tichat B'Sivchei Hayar, and it ignited the Sivchei Hayar, you know, the thicket of the forest, Sivchei, you know, sort of branches or bushes that are all knotted one into another. Where do we have that? The Akeda. Hinei Ayel Acha, Acha Ne'echav Basvach V'Karnav. There is the ram that is caught in the underbrush. Vatitzak B'Sichei Hagar, and it ignited the branches of the forest. Vayitabhu Geut, Vayitabhu Geut Asham. Yitabhu means the smoke rose, Geut Asham. Conceit and pride is described as smoke. It billows, it rises. It may also give off a pretty bad odor. And the end, of course, is that it disappears. There's nothing to it. That's conceit and pride. There's nothing to it. It's smoke. Just as the zanvot ha'udim ha'ashenim, the tails of the burning firebread. Ish el achiv lo yachmolu. Man will not have mercy or compassion on his brother. We have to see right away what he's talking about. Vayigzor al yamin. In other words, somebody here is going to be punished, is going to suffer destruction from God. On the simplest level, it may very well be those who are the rishay Am Yisrael, the evil in Am Yisrael. Yes? I wouldn't say. So sometimes Medrash will define or describe a difference between one and the other. By the way, whenever there's something exciting along those lines, rest assured, I will tell you about it. Because remember, I'm a student of the Malbim, and the Malbim never see something as merely poetic. There always has to be a sense of real meaning over here. And I see the meaning in all of this, that those who are being consumed are really harmful. They are thorns and thistles. They are people who are harmful. They cause a great deal of trouble for their environment. I mean, I can even, if you want me, I can go even further. Klal Yisrael is considered a rose, the thorns that prick the rose and break it. Anyway, Be'ezrat Hashem tzakot ne'etam aretz, through the anger, and here of course is another thing that we will have to talk about. There are different terms to describe anger. Kin'at Hashem tzakot, Charon af Hashem, Evra. Through the anger of Hashem Tzvakot, Ne'etam Aretz, a land is closed, or a land is burned or consumed. Let's use the term, the earth is scorched. That's what I like. The earth is scorched, and the people were like those who were consumed by fire. Ish el achiv lo yachmolu. Man does not have mercy or compassion on his fellow man. Vayigzor al yamin v'ra'ev, vayochal al smol v'lo saveyu, ish b'sar z'ra'o yachilu. We're going to go over this next week. I just want to finish the psukim because we're talking about awesome, frightening punishment. He's talking about Vayigzor. He he grabbed or he cut to the right, and there is hunger, and he consumed to the left, and there was no, they were not sated. Men eating his own flesh. What does all this mean? Menashe Ephraim, Ephraim et Menashe, Yachtov Heimal Yehuda. You know what this eating and consuming one another is? The internal struggles in Klal Yisrael, where they destroy one another. Menashe is against Ephraim, and Ephraim is against Menashe, and both of them together are against Yehuda. God has to deal with the internal strife and struggle that destroys the Jewish people. That's what he's talking about. If he talked before, now, there are three times that it says, "Bechol zot lo shav apo," despite all of this, his anger has not been turned back, and his hand is still outstretched. The first one, when he was talking about what he's going to do to Aram. The second was what he's going to do to Ephraim. The third already includes Yehuda, because it's Menashe against Ephraim, Ephraim against Menashe, and both of them ganging up against Yehuda. But God's hand is still outstretched, because wait, the moment is coming for the destruction of Ashur. The destruction of Ashur is one of the central themes of all of Sefer Yeshayahu. Because remember, it's the days of Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu that Sanherib, king of Ashur, surrounds. I mean, Yerushalayim, there's going to be so much about the destruction of Ashur, and the destruction of Ashur is going to become a prototype. It follows the destruction of the Tzayim, and it's going to be the prototype for the destruction of all sorts of others. Other enemies of Israel, to be continued, presented in Yes Hashem next week.